You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Time once again to talk movies and stuff with Mike Schaefer on film. And last week, of course, we were all focused on the upcoming Academy Awards. Mike Schaefer, welcome back to the radio show.
Thank you, Barry. Good morning, Napa. And I am indeed Mike Schaefer, and I'm sitting here in Cotati waiting for the torrent of fury and righteous indignation as we reflect upon, you and I, the travesty, sir, of the 93rd Annual Academy Awards.
And by which you mean the program itself, not the way the awards were handed out?
Both, actually. But I'm curious in regards, because last week I gave you my predictions for what was going to win. Later on, and I had some friends over, I guess Sunday night, you know, an intimate family, smaller gathering to watch the Oscars, and I changed my ballot. I reflected upon one or two of my choices. So I'm curious now, how did I do? I honestly can't remember.
Well, don't look at me. I wasn't taking notes.
I thought you were keeping score.
Oh, heck no.
Folks.
Heck no.
Okay. All right.
I think, based on, I watched a good portion of the show, you know, absentmindedly, it was on, you know.
Yeah.
As I was going through, I thought, well, that's what Mike said, and that's what Mike said. And so I thought you were pretty accurate.
Yeah. And I think in an ideal world, obviously, on the ballot, you can't choose a tie, for example, but I think I may have said,
yeah, you did say
that there would be a tie. There was somewhat of an upset, and I guess we'll get to that. At what point did you, because I asked you, you know, anticipating today's episode, where did you check out? You didn't watch the whole thing, right?
It was, like I say, it was kind of on in the background. I was on my phone and prepping for the Monday radio show and, you know, taking care of emails and whatnot. So it was like it was playing, but I wasn't engaged with it. I wasn't like sitting there leaning forward, waiting for the next moment.
Right.
You know, it was a weird year to me, movie wise, because, you know, Nomadland, which went on to win Best Picture and Best Director and Best Actress and everything, was a film of greatness that I did not love, and I didn't really enjoy watching it. So it's hard, you know. Contrary to last year, what was the Parasite? Right,
Parasite won Best Picture.
I was literally rooting for Parasite because I thought it was so good. It really, you know, took me on a ride and surprised me, and you know, I had nothing to really root for this year.
Yeah, I actually had a much larger gathering last year for the Oscars, and I remember actually taping via my phone the reaction of everyone who was in the living room that night when Parasite won, and arguably. Well, it's not much of an argument. I thought that that year in particular, the year the Parasite won, was a much stronger year.
Oh, yeah.
So just to piggyback on you know, I you and I have talked about Nomadland, and I'm a fan, and I was really I predicted it to win. It did win. I predicted Chloe to win director. She did win. I thought that Frances winning. I mean, I guess we can talk about the awards themselves.
Yeah, let's do a little bit of that.
I was happy for Frances, and I think now that she is a three-time Academy Award winner in the leading actress category for Fargo, for Three Billboards, and for Nomadland, she's got to now be in that GOAT conversation, right? I think it came down to a three-way race between Frances, Viola, and Carrie. On my imaginary ballot, I voted for Carrie Mulligan. I thought she had the most zeitgeisty role in Promising Young Woman. You know, but Carrie is you know, what do we say? You know, she's young, obviously very, very talented. She's going to be back, and one day I guarantee you she will win, and I guarantee you that Viola Davis will win and be nominated again. McDormand actually has another chance, has an opportunity for a film that's coming out much later in the year. I don't want to say the title, because there's a curse attached to it, but it's the Scottish tragedy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's right. So, which her husband, Joel Cohen, is directing. So she's going to be in the conversation later in the year. So I was happy for Frances. I didn't predict it, but I think we can now do away with the whole, the idea that if someone has won before or even twice before, they wouldn't be considered seriously to win again. So that it really doesn't mean anything anymore. And I got to tell you, the BAFTAs kind of called it in regards to all the precursor Guild Awards.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation leading up to the Oscars was, you know, the BAFTAs got all four of the major acting awards right. And that was reflected upon the Academy Awards. And I said, you know, and I might have mentioned this, I can't remember. There's a major overlap with the people who are members of the British Academy Awards with our own Academy. Mm-hmm. So it only goes to say, it only goes to prove that that would reflect that, those choices.
Yeah, for sure. I see that. You know, it's funny, though, because of what I was saying about my feelings about Nomadland, after Frances McDormand won, I think the next night I watched Three Billboards.
Yes, sir.
Because I was thinking about her and how good she is, but I didn't want to watch her in Nomadland again.
Okay.
I went back and watched a movie that, you know, that blew me away. It was so excellently written and acted and had such a great story and so much to say. If you're longing for something that was really, you know, captivating from her, that's maybe a place to go. Another one that I watched some of recently was Blood Simple, which I guess is the first time I ever saw her on a in a film.
Yeah, and she, yeah, that's where she met her current husband, Joel Cohen.
Yeah.
I don't believe they were dating at the time. I'd have to Google that.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, very strong performance. And, you know, when she's introduced, when she was in, I love that film, by the way. It's been years since I've seen it. Terrific for the folks at home. It's kind of a neo film noir.
Yep.
Is that, I guess that's an accurate way of describing it.
Yeah,
yeah, she's got to be in the GOAT conversation. And we need to address Best Actor and the Best Picture switch.
Yes.
And I think you know what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So
what
did you think of that rather reckless speculation on the part of the producers?
Elaborate. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, since the Oscars have been a thing, The last award of the night is Best Picture.
Mm.
What they did last Sunday, where they switched it, so the show was leading up to, I didn't know it at the time, until they had Rita Moreno come out and give the award for Best Picture, and Best Actor and Best Actress hadn't been handed out yet. And so,
you know, I think that didn't even dawn on me at the time. I think the show itself had numbed my senses by that point. I wasn't aware. But now that you say it, of course, obviously, yeah, Best Picture's always last. Why did they do that?
I think they were hoping to honor Chadwick Boseman.
Ah.
But the producers would have had no knowledge of this before the actual. The only people who would have known the outcome would have been the accountants, right?
Mm.
In fact, they're still counting on the day of. So there's no way the producers could have known or anticipated that, but they risked everything, okay? I think they were hoping for Chadwick to win, so it's a way to sort of cement his legacy, a young, very promising actor who was cut down in the prime of his life. You're talking about a very good performance and a good movie, but he doesn't win, okay? Joaquin Phoenix comes out. I don't know if you remember that, but he did win for Joker, so it makes sense when the previous year's winner comes back to give, you know, to coronate the next actor. And you know, Chadwick wasn't there. Anthony Hopkins wins. He's not there. Now, remember, this is where Best Picture should be. So the night should end with, you know, the cast of Nomadland, whoever is present as far as the crew is concerned, everyone getting together. It is a celebration of the collective, that it isn't just one person who wins. Mm-hmm. It's a company of people. Movies are hard to make, so it doesn't take just one person. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So and also, you know, if we're reading a really good, let's compare this to like a really good mystery, right? A mystery novel, for example. You expose the villain, the murderer, in chapter 8, right? Here's how he did it, why he did it, all of his motivations. We'll walk you through it. And then the story is over, except for the fact that there are two more chapters.
You
and
gotcha.
You're going, why am I still reading this?
Yeah.
Mm. Right?
That is interesting. Now that you put it in that context, they were expecting that climactic moment with Chadwick Boseman and everybody in tears. And I get it.
It didn't happen. It could have been a very beautiful moment, except for the fact that here's the thing. One more thing I want to say, with Chadwick winning, or the possibility of his winning on Oscar night, and the show seems to be leading to this conclusion, this foregone conclusion, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because if he does in fact win, people could say, and I might be one of them, the show was rigged. They knew it all along, you know, so why bother? And it's somewhat disrespectful to the other actors who were there, who were sitting in attendance. I thought Riz Ahmed did a great, great job. He might have been someone I would have voted for anyway for Sound of Metal. So you're damned if you do. It's either he wins and the show is rigged. You knew it all along. It was fixed. And if he doesn't win, which he didn't, you're left kind of with an awkward Joaquin Phoenix, an anticlimactic ending, disrespecting the cast and crew of Nomadland, disrespecting what should have been Chloe Zhao's moment, okay, being the first woman to win since Kathy Bigelow, the first woman of color to win a Best Director Oscar. And you have an actor, Anthony Hopkins, who, by the way, for folks who are upset that Anthony Hopkins won, having seen The Father, Barry, I can tell you that it is a masterclass in acting.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away by what Anthony Hopkins did. So I'm just going to say it. He deserved his award. In fact, all the people who won deserved their awards. And I loved some of the speeches, too.
I am very ambivalent about seeing The Father. I know it will be brilliantly acted, but is it depressing? Am I going to be sad when I leave that theater?
A little, yeah. To be perfectly honest with you, it was a hard watch, and I can tell you that my wife has her dad, for example, is experiencing the earliest signs of dementia. So this is a movie that she will not watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's already somewhat in a funk about, you know, her dad's declining mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But from an acting point of view, I was wowed by what he did. So he's not just playing dementia, he's playing layers of dementia. And there's an arc. And where he goes, I was tremendously moved. But somewhat akin to Schindler's List, which is a great film and a masterpiece, a movie I haven't been able to revisit since I saw it the very first time. It's a tough watch.
Yeah. Agreed. I will probably end up watching this. I just got to get myself in the right frame of mind for it, I guess.
Exactly.
I certainly don't object to having a movie make me feel melancholy. Mm-hmm. It's just like the mood's got to be right, I guess. The question we haven't explored yet, beyond who won and who should have won and all those other things, was the production of the awards show itself. Now, Steven Soderbergh has probably never made a movie that I would score below, you know, 8.5 on a 10-point scale, right?
He's made a handful of bad movies, though. And this was one of them.
This was the worst thing that he could... are you sure it was him? Did someone pretend to be him? I couldn't believe how draggy and boring it was, and how, I don't know, ceremonial without any of the glamour of ceremony. I don't know. It just failed on every level for me.
It did miss a sort of old school glamour. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. The show started off great. I really do applaud the decision to shoot the film, to shoot the awards like a film. They utilized widescreen. They utilized high definition cameras. Mm-hmm. I really liked the way the show began with Regina King, you know, with her, you know, swaggy strut, you know, into Union Station. I liked the set. I liked the sort of Art Deco, how it balanced very nicely with the decor of the Union Station. I thought this is going to be a nice, intimate. I appreciated the fact that the awards were actually happening, Barry. There was conversation that they would just suspend it for a year and wait until, you know, we had more, you know, as the COVID restrictions were being diminished. Now we can wear, we don't have to wear masks outside unless we're in a crowd, that sort of thing, as we move into the yellow tier, until we're somewhat back to normal. So I appreciate the fact that there was an attempt, that there was a show, there was an opportunity to celebrate film. But man, oh man, did it quickly go off the rails. I have no idea what that music trivia thing was all about. If you want to give Glenn Close the award for best sport, okay, fine. But why? And the in memoriam section just really ticked me off. It really left a bad taste in my mouth. If you recall, you know, they do an in memoriam every year. And generally, you know, there's controversy about who was missed. But they crammed a lot of people in under 3 minutes. The whole thing felt like they were rushing through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't particularly fair to the greats of Olivia de Havilland, Sean Connery. It should have been a much longer montage where you stop and go, oh, right, she was in Gone with the Wind. Oh, yeah, James Bond passed away. So I felt that was very disrespectful. Did not work for me at all. Left a bad taste. And for something that I was eagerly anticipating, as you know, I get very excited. You know, it's the Academy Awards are like the Super Bowl for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was left feeling deflated. I'm someone who loves film, and I thought this would be a celebration of that night. And it clearly wasn't. And ending on that sort of discordant note, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, already he looks like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, he's very uncomfortable. I thought he was going to start telling me milk is bad. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it tonight. Come on, let me enjoy my chocolate milk.
I noticed earlier you used the phrase awkward Joaquin Phoenix. And I said, that's redundant. You know, he's he's nothing but always awkward. I want to switch gears and take a couple extra minutes. Let's extend a few more minutes here because
I'd love to.
And I want to throw something at you that's not Oscar related for a second.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how prepared you are for this, so tell me if it's not cool. But looking ahead, now that movie theaters are reopening, and I'm like every day I get the thought like maybe I'll go to a movie, and then I end up not doing it for whatever reason. But the point is, I want to feel that excitement. What do I have to look forward to? New movies, big movies, and exciting stuff.
Well, I'm gonna just answering your question, but piggybacking on the Oscars somewhat. So, if the show had ended correctly with Best Picture and Nomadland winning, and Chloe Zhao on stage again, you know, giving an acceptance speech of some kind, so then the show, you know, cuts to the show is over, end credits, whatever, and immediately the trailer for her new movie, which is a Marvel superhero film called The Eternals, which Chloe is currently directing right now. So if they had gone to that with the tagline coming from Oscar-winning director Chloe Zhao, Marvel Studios is proud to present Eternals, right? Kevin Feige, who is, I guess, he is sort of the mastermind behind Marvel Films and Marvel Entertainment, has said that her pitch for Eternals is the best pitch he's ever heard. There hasn't been a teaser trailer, so there's great anticipation, Barry, about that. And the fact that you have an Oscar-winning auteur at the helm. So I think we have Eternals to look forward to. The movie I'm going to see in a theater, by the way, on Sunday, is a film. Do you know the actor Ed Helms?
Ed Helms from The Office and that.
Yes.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, yeah, in a few movies. Mm-hmm. He's in a picture that I've heard very good things about via Roger Ebert, one of the reviews. It's a movie, I think it's a rom-com called Together, Together. So I will see that in the theater, and I look forward to reviewing it next Friday for you. I mean, and so okay. That's how we can put a button on the Academy Awards. It's like, I really don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to forget it that it happened. And moving forward to what I think, Barry, will be a stronger year at the movies for various reasons. A lot of movies were postponed last year, like the James Bond. Mm-hmm. Daniel Craig's, I think, his last depiction of 007. Really looking forward to that. Looking forward to other Marvel movies. The movie that I mentioned that McDormand is currently working on, The Scottish Tragedy. And that's a Coen Brothers film. Really look forward to seeing that. 91 years old Clint Eastwood has a movie coming out, The Man Will Never Die. And not that I'm suggesting he should. He's a living legend. I love Clint Eastwood. I'm just amazed at how much he's able to, his output at his age,
yeah,
his energy. So I think to answer your question, we have a lot to look forward to in regards to the year 2021. And I would say probably a much better Oscar ceremony. Hopefully that the mistakes that they made, they can correct. We should look forward to next year's slate of films.
Optimism is appreciated. What are you hearing about The Woman in the Window?
I think it's, is that Amy Adams?
Yeah, it's got a sort of a Rear Window remake quality, but it's not a remake.
I like the vibe, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that's either a Netflix movie or Amazon. It's going to be on one of the major streaming. There hasn't been much buzz on that, but, you know, Amy Adams is like, and it's interesting that they were both in Hillbilly Elegy, two very talented actresses who get nominated every time. This is an actress who always takes the big swing, but she hasn't won yet. But I like her in a sort of like, I guess it's a murder mystery.
Yeah, and you've got not just Amy Adams, but Julianne Moore and Gary Oldman in that cast, too.
Oh, well, there you go. That's... I mean, so you know it's going to be a masterclass,
yeah,
right?
I want to get into that one.
Hopefully the story is strong enough that the foundation of the story gives the actors somewhere to go, mm-hmm, you know.
And since you mentioned that missing James Bond movie, when is it ever going to come out?
I think we're looking at fall now.
Okay.
I think so. I think with more theaters reopening, and I look forward to seeing it in a movie theater. I think Alamo Drafthouse, not one of the larger chains, but an important one, they're planning a reopening. The Drafthouse in San Francisco, where I saw quite a few films before the shutdown, is going to be reopening in July. So I look forward to seeing that. But yeah, I look forward to seeing certain movies on the IMAX, on the big screen, you mm-hmm know, driving into the city every now and then to see a movie on the IMAX. And it was, you know, something that was temporarily taken away from me, but I look forward to going back. And because movies like that, the epic, deserve to be seen and heard on a much bigger screen.
I agree. When I was in high school in southwestern Missouri, we used to drive to Kansas City sometimes to see a big movie on, you know, in a good theater, in a cool theater. And that was about, you know, a 3-hour trip each way.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Was your family movie-loving people? Because there's no way my dad would drive 3 hours to take me to see any movie.
Yeah, there was no dad involved in that. That was me and my high school girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you were the guy engineering that.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
The only parental involvement was giving the keys to the car in those situations.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's really all we really need from our parents anyway. give me the damn keys.
It's crucially important step in parenting.
Yeah. You remember like a movie, one particular movie that you saw that stuck with you?
Well, no. You know, maybe Looking for Mr. Goodbar jumps out in my mind.
That's a hard watch.
Yes, that was
that's
disturbing.
That's a hard watch.
You know, and back in that day, you didn't have a nonstop stream of information about movies. If you got, you know, if you subscribed to certain magazines, you might know about a movie before you saw it. But largely, yeah, you didn't back then. You know, it was a you saw the poster, you saw a preview, and that's it. And then
the trailer for Good Bar, if I'm not mistaken, it's on YouTube. You know, would certainly suggest that things don't end well, if you know what I mean. And I remember, I can tell you that I was an usher. Okay, one of my very first jobs, I was an usher at a theater that was playing Looking for Mr. Goodbar, I can remember. Mm-hmm. And I remembered, and I don't want to spoil, I mean, I guess the movie was made in 1977. It's based on a true story of a school teacher who was murdered by somebody she picks up in a bar, right? So the movie ends that way. Sorry, spoiler alert, but the movie was made in 1977. Get over it. And the shell-shocked looks, yeah, of people who came, because the movie just ends like that, mm-hmm, right? And it's a very powerful film. And for whatever reason, probably music, it's never been released on DVD. It's one of those movies that I would love to see again, but, you know, like a special edition Criterion type of thing. And I thought, and that was the year that Keaton won for, she won technically for Annie Hall, but right, I believe she was actually winning for Looking for Mr. Goodbar. Same
yeah,
year.
That was a sensational performance and a really powerful movie. And it's just different now. You know so much about films before you see them, and you know we've lost a little bit of that mystery.
I would encourage particularly people, you know, who love movie and love, as you're saying, that experience of not knowing, going into a movie blind. You had the poster, maybe you saw a trailer, and sometimes the trailers give away far too much information. They give away the ending sometimes. We talked about Nobody, the Bob Odenkirk action movie, right? In fact, we watched Nobody again last night with Anthony Martinez and Michael Ray Wisely. They came over last night and had a ball. And I said, look, guys, I didn't know anything going into it. Didn't tell them anything about it, right? All they knew was Bob Odenkirk action movie. Of course, we're intrigued because Odenkirk is not your go-to guy for action movies. And I said, you know, the experience that I had was I thought it was one kind of movie because he's a regular guy. He doesn't look like Jason Statham. He's not The Rock. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be the plot would be closer to like a Death Wish, right? Ordinary guy who's pushed too far, grabs a gun, goes on a shooting spree, what have you, you know, but he's an ordinary guy. The movie is not that. It becomes very obvious. Once again, spoiler alert, you know, he's already a killing machine, right? And I had so much fun with how much humor they infused in it. So because of that surprise, because I didn't go on social media, right? I wasn't, you know, reading reviews online. I wanted the surprise. And it was my first trip back to a movie theater in over 14 months. And I said part of that, yeah, the movie's very enjoyable. But I just loved being back in the theater again. In all, that was a great matinee for me.
Yeah. Well, one of these days we'll have to drink a beer and swap stories about working at the movie theater. I did that too. I had a couple of summers, maybe a year and a half. I don't know. Yeah, lots of stories.
It's one of the best jobs. I mean, for someone like me to see movies for free, and barely work at all, which has always been my personal credo. How much work can I get away with not doing and still collect a paycheck?
Right.
That's been my life's dream.
not a bad way to approach it. Mike Schaefer on film. You might not want to hire him to do any yard work based on what he just told us, but
no, you really don't. Yeah. No, you really don't.
If you need movie information, he's the guy to go to. Thanks for another excellent show. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Absolutely. With a new slate of films, Barry. 2021.
Fantastic.
Here we come.
Can't wait. Talk to you then.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.